This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What a Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Tell you guys up until 2 here on the program. Let's get to our headlines, which are brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose more over 500 new Kia miles in inventory, the Sportage, the Sorento, and the Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. The Heat, they'll be back on the hardwood tonight, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves at 8 o'clock, 6:45. You got preheat with Solana. And let's hear
a
little bit
more. Who's happier that Solana's back? Who's more happier than you?
Not many, dude. Not many. love you, Heat. I really did have a good time. Tommy Tighe is genuinely a great professional. Like, I always feel like I want to up my game around Tommy Tighe, and then I just want to see if I can make Jason Jackson laugh with any of my little sayings.
Tommy Tighe, you could have sit and have a conversation with him for hours.
Yes.
It's crazy.
And then Amy Audibert is also fantastic. I enjoy my time with everybody. It has nothing to do with the people I work with. It is simply, it's not a good place for me to be after a loss. It's just not.
You're not that positive of a fella.
I'm not in a half full mood after losses. That's not me. I am all the way at the bottom, and then I fill my cup up. That's how it works.
So basically, you are Mike Inglis.
Yes.
Because they'd be up 30, and they'll go on a 5-0 run. Oh, boy.
Here we go. They're at it again.
How do you think he would handle all these?
I don't think he could get I don't know if Mike could get through a season like this. I don't know if he could. You know, like Jason Jackson's always going to put a smile on your face. Inglis, imagine Mike Inglis after the OKC loss. Let me hear from Bam Adebayo on the matchup against Anthony Edwards tonight.
You have to understand that he's on the court. I mean, he's a big factor into why they've won. Obviously, he's one of those guys that can get hot and get it going. But for us, it's just limiting them to one shot and then making them all take difficult shots. And we'll live with that.
Bam also thinking that the team is kind of coming together, that the mistakes are becoming fewer and far between. So he's hoping that this can get them on a run-ski. Here's Bam.
It's not 10 to 12 things that we're doing wrong. Now it's getting to like one box out, one close out, getting the ball where it's supposed to go. And it's not 11 or 12 things. It's more 3 or 4 where we're in the game and, you know, deciding factor, we make a mistake or something like that. So, you know, we're starting to bring our mistakes down and starting to really figure out how we can win games.
Man.
We can start off by not scoring 18 in a quarter while the other team scores 35.
That would be nice.
That's more than one mistake.
Yeah.
Like, he's making it sound like we gave up a bunny at the end of the game to lose by a field goal.
Well,
that's
sounds
not
like
what's happening.
Well, I think he's trying to say is like there were times that it was, a wave of bad things. Now it's just a few bad things. Maybe we'll get to know bad things.
It all seemed to come at the same time, and you lose a 15-point lead. I'm trying to think when I played, if I was ever aware enough, or was I caught up in the game? So, and what I mean by it is this. Coaches will tell you, just execute each play one at a time, and that will lead to greater things collectively. And I don't know if I ever remember being in a situation and somebody going, guys, we got to be better. This is terrible, right? Because it just seems like when it happens to the Heat, nobody seems aware of what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. It is one of those tough things. And I also think that, for this month, it's been good that Bam's been getting going. Tyler is got a lot on his plate. And I think that is really affected his shooting. He's not been as
I think Davion has helped Tyler though, because Tyler can then play more off the ball.
Yeah, that's certainly, you would hope that's the case. But now Tyler's been out. Davion was out of game.
Yeah.
So we just haven't even gotten really a look at this.
Right. Same situation we've been in for the last couple of years.
Very
like at the end of the year, this time of year, we're wondering how good would this team be if everybody was healthy? We've had this conversation now for 3 years, 4 years, that it gets to those moments to where you want to know whether your team is a contender or not, and somebody gets hurt and you can't get a good, evaluation of the team.
Panthers shut out the Columbus Blue Jackets last night, 3-0. They're back at it tomorrow against the Sabres at 6:00. You can hear that game on 790 The TicCat. So get ready for that. Last home game before a long road trip for them. And then tomorrow night is UFC 313. Alex Pajeda defends his title against Magomed Ankalaev. Weigh-ins are official. They're good to go. Pajeda, and then he's gonna come. Ankalaev has the shades on. That usually means they don't want to see your those dehydrated eyes, Leroy. They don't want you. You got those sunken eyes
from losing too much weight.
Yeah, that's a move. Yeah. Like, get him out there with the glasses, ladies and gentlemen. But that fight will be going down tomorrow in Las Vegas. We'll talk to the bad guy Chael Sonnen coming up in a little bit this hour about it. Marcos very, very excited, and Leroy is very, very excited to tell you more about Liv.
Liv. You know how we like to party in Miami. And we love our golf because it is the perfect place for golf. So the next Liv event is coming down here at Trump National Doral, April 4th, 2 to 6th. And there'll be the giants of the game, of course. John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, and more. Major championship winners, so you're seeing some of the best golf out there. They have huge DJ sets, epic street food, and ska punk legend Sublime headlining on Saturday. They always put on a concert. All you got to do is grab your tickets at liv.com. That's livegolf.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast?
Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. I'm going to talk to UFC ESPN analyst Chael Sonnen coming up in about 10 minutes. He's going to join us. We'll talk about UFC 313 and get into a little UFC Miami with him as well, which is just a little over a month down the pipe at the Kaseya Center and all the other happenings in the fight world as love getting our chance to talk to all the fighters. It's been fun talking to them in the lead up to this event, which is going on. So we got that coming up for you. Miami Heat back on the hardwood tonight, taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves yesterday. If you guys missed it, you had big performances yet again. The big story in the NBA right now has been the two teams out west. They made their trades and they are rolling right now. The Lakers somehow foisted the Mavericks into getting Luka Doncic in for a guy who never plays basketball, and they've just been unstoppable. Gabe Vincent and his handsome face yesterday, 4 for 4 from downtown. Bastard. And then the Warriors beat the Nets 121-119. Steph Curry had 40 points in that one, including an incredible half-court turnaround logo. I don't know what the hell it was. It was impossible. Somehow he made it look like nothing. It's insane. He's an insane person. And then, of course, Jimmy Butler, he just poured in 25 points, 10 for 10 from the line. And
Steph Curry has ruined basketball. All the three-point shots. Now everybody wants to shoot the three. Everybody can't be Steph Curry.
He's so much fun.
He's so much fun. And guess what? He is the only player in the NBA. No complaints. I mean, LeBron has been dealing with
it his whole career. When you say no complaints, like he has no complaints?
No, like nobody ever. When's the last time you heard somebody say something negative about Steph Curry?
There was some negative stuff with the whole KD era, and I think a lot of it after that was, you know, they went down in the dumps a little bit. Once he won his fourth ring, though, what were you going to say about him? Like, right. You know, he got his title MVP, like that was really his shut everybody up. And then, of course, he had this summer against he was stinking up to join the Olympics. And then the last two games, he couldn't miss.
Right. But I'm just saying, like, he's never, ever taken the heat that LeBron has taken during his career.
No. But also, it's like, you know, nobody, there was a point nobody thought that was going to work. Like, his ankles didn't work.
Yeah. That was her. I mean, keep in mind, people don't realize how much money Steph Curry could have made. His first extension was $40 million.
Yeah.
Because his ankles didn't work.
That's crazy.
Right.
That's a crazy thing. So that's what's going on out there. The Heat still looking for an injury update on tonight and see where everybody's at. The only guy we know is out for sure is Kalel. He is not going to get a go. I don't feel great about that. I mean, you know, big fellow with a Mitchell Robinson not knowing how to walk, just rolling up on his leg like a hedgehog, just like, bang, oh, sorry. It's like, hey, how about you stay on your feet, all right? Stop rolling into people's meniscuses.
You do realize he plays the same position as Joel Embiid.
What? Yeah, and you remember what he did to him last year? He frog splashed his ligaments.
Joel Embiid is kind of a, like, he got a wide base. He can't stay on his feet either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's
wide base.
No, that was that. He does have a wide base, J. Fig. You got to calm down. All right, take it easy, hey, buddy.
See, look. Now let me ask you a question. Can you beat an officer at the pearly gates if you two are making little comments?
What comments are they making?
Just saying.
I'd love to know.
You saying that J Fig's a sneaky hallway fat shamer?
Yep.
I don't.
Wow.
This is a
wow.
I think that if I'm at the pearly gates and she's there, I got receipts.
This is crazy.
Where are these receipts coming from?
If you are defending the pearly gates, I should definitely get in because you've done some of the same.
You know, now that I think about it.
Because I don't do that. And two,
you don't do that. You just did it 2 seconds ago.
What did I do?
You know what you did.
I think I kind of believe like that sounds a little bit like he's got dirt, J Fig. I would tread lightly.
I'd love to know. Yeah. I would love to know.
All right. Take it easy.
I want to see your receipts.
You bat them big old eyes at everybody.
I don't want to see the hobnobbers go at it.
I want to see those receipts.
Well, I'm sure they're verbal receipts. Like, what do you want them to film you?
Yeah.
Okay. Nah, all right, Leroy. I guess you know what you got to do next time the hobnobbers are in the building.
I guess.
All right, we're going to get to Chael here in just a second. Before that, let's get to a giveaway here. Buckets and Bets, which is going down to the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. You guys can get VIP packages and tickets now at Ticketmaster.com. But if you guys want to go, pair of tickets right now, caller number 10 to 305-567-0560. Caller 10. 305-567-0560 is going to win a pair of tickets to Buckets and Bets. That's going to go down on March 20th to the 23rd. It's presented by Hard Rock Bet. You guys can check that on out. Get your tickets now. Ticketmaster.com. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. You must be 21 or older and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. The Bad Guy, Chael Sonnen, scheduled to join us next. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on 560 WQAM. Very exciting, Leroy. This man right here is an absolute legend. We always love getting a chance to talk fighting with him. Marcos is the most excited. This is his numero uno right here, Marcos, your favorite of all time.
This is my guy. Got a nice intro because last time you just wanted to bring him on. You just wanted to bring him on like he was just some normal guy, you know.
Don't steal his thunder.
So I decided to put together something that is worthy of the bad guy. You ready for this?
Yes.
Chael, the epitome of male, the opposite of frail, the holy grail of holy hell, is he handsome? The reflection of perfection, the man who gets your attention. He's a man with the biggest arm and the greatest charm. Leroy, I got a question for you. What are you going to do when you know who? How are you going to deal with the Man of Steel? How are you going to react to Sonnen's attack? Ladies and gentlemen, the bad guy. And then you know, he comes on, he's going to be very happy. I've been practicing that for weeks.
Jenny, you got us? Oh, man.
He's probably taken back by my performance.
Maybe he was taken aback by your performance.
I think he's speechless right now.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's strange.
Or he has that little thing that I have on my phone and he didn't slide it over.
Wow, the camera thing? No. It's on the front.
The camera thing going on? Yeah, we don't hear him. It's a tough thing. Maybe we'll see if we can we can hook it up on the phone, because that was beautiful there, Marcos.
I think it was like a soliloquy.
You might have to do it again.
I don't mind. No. I've done it day after day. I don't want to brag or anything, but I've practiced this in the mirror for the past couple weeks. You guys know what I take you know how I take these days off from time to time? You know, I gotta get right.
You don't even take full days anymore. You go, you know what, 1 o'clock I'm out.
Yeah, I've gotten better. That's why. I don't need a full day to practice it anymore, Leroy. Before it would take me the full 4 hours. I've done my best though. Done my best.
You did do your best. I'm gonna see if we're gonna give him the number, see if we can get him to call in, because we're having connection issues there with him. But as we get to it, we got action back tonight. I am excited though for this card this weekend.
Yeah,
because this Pajeda is an absolute monster. Absolute monster.
We have in the last couple of UFC fights, we've had the underdogs do pretty good. And I always wonder, could it be a style thing? Whereas, like, I get so interested in grappler versus striker.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, let's ask the man himself. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line and hear from Chael Sonnen there. Chael, you got us?
At long last, I heard you needed a good-looking badass, and one has arrived.
it definitely got prettier on this show, Chael. Thanks for giving us some time. We were just asking, like, Ankalaev, you think he's got a shot this weekend, Chael? You know, Pajeda feels like he's steamrolling everybody right now.
I do, and I got to back up to that green. I was there for the whole thing. I don't know why you couldn't hear me, but that was beautiful, and I appreciated the quotes. Now, I got some inside scoop, guys. I'm out here in Vegas doing the Ultimate Fighter. So every day I go to something known as the PI, the Performance Institute. Twice this week, Pierre was in there and he was training. And we've heard stories that he's not focused. We've heard stories that he doesn't have his team around him. We've heard stories that he's 30 pounds overweight. I can just tell you from watching him train, none of those things are true. He is the only athlete on this card that sparred 5 full rounds. He did that twice this week. And that was just that I saw. That was pure coincidence. And I just happened to see a total of 10 rounds. This guy is fit. He's in shape. He's a mean son of a bitch. I've got to tell you, I don't always see it when the guy's in the octagon. A guy has more skills in his repertoire, and he shows that more in practice. This guy is nasty. He is not as advertised. This is not just a stand-up fighter. This is a fighter that prefers to stand up. I can tell you, he was very good on the ground.
Chael, that's my question. Like, one of the things I love about the UFC is that you have so many different styles, so many different perfections that these guys have, and when they all come together, do you prefer one style over the other, or it's the fighter that is able to expand his game to just not one type of fighting? I think that's the most amazing thing to UFC to me, is that so many different kind of styles of fighters can come in and fight one another.
And see, I see it the same way as you. I find that fascinating. Like, I started as a fan in 1993. Nobody knew anybody. We didn't have weight class championships. There was no money. There was barely TV. But there was the same pursuit, which is to find out, of all of the different arts and styles, which one is the most effective. Like, what would happen if a judo guy took on a taekwondo guy? And quite frankly, here we are 30 years later, we still don't have a perfect answer to that question. Right when you think you know everything, a guy like Pierre comes along. Like, this sport has been proven to be dominated by grapplers, and then somebody like Pierre comes along. He was 36 years old when he started this. He became the world champion at 37. He's a double world champion. I'm not sure by 38 he's not going to have a third world championship.
Do you think, Chael, like, you were such a master at getting people's heads, what would you have done to get into his head? Because he feels like he doesn't say anything. You see him on fight week and he goes into action, but there's no reaction to him whatsoever except when he does that damn walkout with the bow and arrow.
Yeah, and you know, he's so tall. Like, I mean, as you say, it's from a wrestling perspective, the guys that you can really go out and exploit are the taller guys. Kickboxing, that can be effective to have some height too, but the wrestling, it's bad. He's got all these legs. All you got to do is change elevation and go blast him, or at least that's what it looks like. Nobody succeeded in doing that. In fact, guys, to go a step further, I've never seen anybody try. It's not just guys are failing to out-wrestle him. There's nobody that's tried. There's something about his stance. There's something about his movement that shuts wrestlers down. And even when I was watching him in person, I was trying to figure out what that was. I don't quite have it. This guy's got some tricks, and this guy, he's very good. And by the way, when we have always seen wrestlers dominating strikers, there's another element to that, which is the wrestler has always been in better shape. He's the one that could push harder in the fourth and fifth round. That's not the case with Piera. Piera's got the condition advantage. Piera has never lost a fourth or fifth round. And Piera's lost an entire fight before and then knocked the guy out in the fifth round. Like, he does better as the finish line gets closer. And that is a meaningful difference. We've never really seen grappler versus striker where the striker was the better condition. And that's one of the things I'm really looking for when he takes on Uncle Liev this weekend. I think it's going to be the deciding factor.
Talking to Chael Sonnen, you guys can see him this week on ESPN's coverage, ESPN Plus pay-per-view, Alex Pejeda against Magomed Ankalaev, UFC 313 available for you guys. We got it coming down here soon, Chael. Miami's the next card up, and we were speaking with Paddy the Batty this past week with this fight coming with Michael Chandler. Do you feel like for Paddy the Batty, is this too much of a step up for him, or do you think he's ready for Michael Chandler?
He is ready for Michael Chandler. 1 year ago, I would have laughed about this. I would have dismissed it, and the company never even would have signed it. But it's a very different world. And we've also got a pretty false reception of Paddy. Like, he comes across as this young kid, and, you know, maybe he's a regional draw, and he can help to move the needle a little bit in England. It's not like that. This guy is truly a star in MMA. I've been in rooms when he walks in, and then five other famous guys walk in. They give the biggest reception to Paddy. And this whole idea that he's a young kid, I mean, this young kid's married with twins, and he happens to be 30 years old. I mean, just the perceptions of him are not true. I have never seen anything that would disqualify my belief that he is a potential world champion. As a matter of fact, I predict he fights for the belt in 2025. He's going to need two wins. They're going to have to be the right wins. But Michael Chandler, that's a big name to bring down if he does.
We were curious because, you know, there was some buzz that Topuria was going to be defending his belt here, and then he moves up, and now he's tweeting out that he's got some huge announcement, Chael. You got any scoop on that, or what Topuria's got up his sleeve?
We were just talking about that. Nobody knows. So just to lay this case out for you, he drops the 45-pound belt. He announces he's going up to 55. Now, generally, simultaneously, and I can think of two other examples in history where this has happened, simultaneously they will announce that he's fighting for the title the same day that he announces that he's dropping his belt. That's not what happened. So I can't really imagine Ilya Topuria moving up a weight class as an undefeated world champion, ranked number two pound for pound, and not getting a title shot. However, if he's going to get the shot, why wasn't it announced? And so I just think there is a chance that he's going to draw into Armand Sarukian or a Charles Oliveira. I think there's a chance that there will be one fight that he's got to stop off before he goes for Islam. And by the way, a poster for Ilya and Islam is going to do just fine, but it's not as big of a fight as those two think it is. A poster with Ilya and Islam after Ilya gets a win at the division, we're talking about a mega fight. We're talking about what could be the biggest fight of the year if that scenario played out.
There was news this week, Chael, about Dana White now getting into the boxing game. What do you think this means for him?
It's awesome. And you got to understand from a human standpoint, like, I was a little kid once, and I had a dream, and I tried to pursue it. So was Dana. Dana was a little boy one time, and he had a dream too. And it wasn't MMA, and it wasn't to be a CEO of a billion-dollar company. He wanted in the boxing business. That is what he has always wanted in. That, you know, it's a true passion, and a true love, and I just share for you, like, on a human level. It's nice to see him. I mean, that guy works pretty damn hard. It's nice to see that the thing that he really wanted, he now has a chance to do. I think that's pretty cool. I think they're going to do great.
Chael, you don't think it's difficult to go into boxing? The way they structure and do things is a little bit different than MMA. And in fact, a lot of guys are kind of doing all these crazy boxing matches to get the big payday. How is he going to transition from MMA to boxing when the way they pay fighters is so different?
Yeah, I'm so curious. I'm so curious what that model's going to be. They've really never had a leader They've never had quite a leader in boxing. So to start with, no, the first day or the first week or the first couple of years, there's going to be some real struggle to find your guys, who's loyal, who really wants to be world champion versus who wants to be rich and famous. And there's a fine line right there. But once you identify those guys, the community does kind of gravitate towards them. I'm also curious, is it going to change anything? For example, if he copies the UFC model, then that would mean on each boxing card, we're going to get five feature matches with a co-main event and a heavily promoted main event. That would be very different in boxing. And by the way, if he's going to do that, that's a lot of boxing to watch if all those are 12-round contests. So is he going to shorten it? Will the undercard be five rounds? Because boxing is actually very fun to watch. It's just the human body is not made to do it for 12 rounds. So guys go out there with this unspoken agreement, let's kill five rounds so that we can get through this, and then let's go like hell for the final and sort this out. I mean, you'll hear announcers in boxing covering it from the beginning of time. There's a feeling out process. No, there's not. Yeah. You would never hear that at the amateurs. You would never hear that at the Olympic Games because it's a reasonable time period. 12 rounds is not reasonable for the human body. So I do think that there's some room to shorten it, to get four or five big matches on a card, to actually build the sport, build the storylines. I hope that's the direction they're going. I don't have any inside scoop on that. I mean, nothing has been said except for the rumor I'm starting right now that possibly they're going to manipulate the rules. But I hope they do give a good look at that. I mean, they used to do this for 15 rounds. Frankly, it was too much.
Whew. Oh, my goodness. I remember those days.
I don't just mean from a human standpoint. It wasn't fun to watch. Like, we got to get them in and get them out. Get the interview, get the story, get the trailer going, get them in and get them out. Like, that's a show. That's fun. And that's, I think, what he does better than anybody. And I really do hope he brings that to boxing. I hope he considers it.
Leroy, you might have been right. He's not the bad guy anymore. He's too good. He's too lovable now. He's no longer the big heel.
I just, one of the things that I always wonder about, Chael, if you make it shorter, say, for example, a guy like Floyd Mayweather, he spends the whole fight being a defensive fighter. If you make that fight shorter, does, in effect, he lose more fights because of the aggressiveness of the other fighter because the fight is shorter?
Sure. Or does he change his style? I mean, typically speaking, we see this in MMA with some rule changes. We've seen this in the amateurs of boxing with some rule changes. The same guy wins. The same guy might change his style or change his training, but he can't. And I really believe Floyd could have really focused and condensed that. He actually proved that when he got a silver medal in the Olympic Games, that he only had, three rounds out there. But he found a way to beat those guys. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't as defensive. He was a little more aggressive. He understood it was a point system. He understood I need to touch you more than you touch me. I think that they can adapt. One thing that Jake Paul did, and people don't really give Jake credit, but one thing that he really did that was nice early in his career, he was doing 6-round fights. Like when he and Mike Tyson fought, that might have been 8 rounds, but you get my point. It was enough. Yeah. We don't need them out there stumbling around for 12 and 15 rounds and things like this. We need less. We need more action and in less time. That's my opinion. I don't know if I'm going to get my way, but I'm going to campaign for it, and I'm starting with you guys right now.
I love it. Chael, before we get you out of here, you think John Jones Aspinall actually happens?
Yep, and let me tell you something about that. Contrary to popular belief, John Jones has not turned that fight down. Contrary to what's being reported, he has never been offered it. He did his thing in the media, they did their thing in the media, but that phone call behind closed doors has never been placed. I believe the moment it is, the moment a date in a venue and a location and training camp can begin, I believe John Jones is going to be absolutely a green light. He is not ducking that fight as reported. That's a misunderstanding.
It's Chael Sonnen. Catch him this weekend on ESPN. He's the best. UFC 313, Pereira versus Ankalaev. Thanks for the time, Chael.
Thanks, Chael.
I've had it with you all. Goodbye.
He's leaving us like that? Like he's done? Yeah. All right. I guess that's how it's going to go. He just...
Hey. That's another guy. If we were on Radio Row and we sat him down, it'd be a 30-minute conversation.
Oh, for sure.
With everybody hanging around saying, Chael, we got to go. We tend to do that to people, right?
It happens.
We get the look all the time. Hey, your time is up. Wrap it up.
I don't know what to tell you, dude. I don't know what to tell you.
But yeah, so I always wonder, like, I don't – and here's the thing. I'm looking at it from the outside looking in and don't really understand. But the thing with Floyd is Floyd became a defensive fighter because of his hand problems.
Yeah.
So – while Chael is saying he could or would have fought differently, You look at certain fighters that have hand problems. No, they couldn't. So they need that extended period of time to show that they are dominating a fight with their style.
I did see on social media, though, our boy Keith Thurman was, he's on the mend. He's trying to come back. I think he's got a fight in Australia.
Come back from what?
I don't know. Not fighting for a while.
Oh, okay. Not fighting for a while. I thought you said, man, he had an injury or something.
No. He just hasn't fought in a while.
He's only got one loss, right? Is that crazy? That a fighter with only one loss has gone this long without fighting?
I think he made a lot of money. Like,
no,
he
did, but still.
I think, like, you know, he was like on some of these big, he was on like some of these big first CBS card. And I think he got paid pretty well.
Right, right.
So good for him. I mean, he seems, and, you know, I think he just lives his life. I don't ever see him doing anything. Like, I think he's like one of these guys. I think he lives in Central Florida and is making sound effects. That's all.
I tell you what, it is like when we interviewed him. Right. When we interviewed him with Pacquiao, I was sold.
Oh, me too.
He got my chili peppers, Marcos. As soon as we left the interview, I'm like, go and get these chili peppers right now.
And then he was down in the first round.
And then, holy smokes.
Been a scramble and a gamble. Okay.
But oh man,
they need him on the fights, dude.
On the fights. So like, there's a couple of guys, and then who's the last guy we had who wasn't very talkative?
Steve Fulton, who came in with his jorts and Timbs,
jorts and Timberlands, and he put it on him. I don't know how. I can't understand how he was an underdog in that fight.
It's crazy.
Craziest thing.
You only lost to Inoue. You know, who's, I mean, he's really destroying everybody right now. Boxing's fun right now. Mm-hmm. UFC's fun. I like fights.
Yep.
Fights make me happy.
Yep.
Been a scramble and a gamble. Okay.
Oh, man.
Should have had Keith Thurman on the call of the fight yesterday with Gajevich.
Oh, my goodness.
Right in the mandible.
I was going to say, although pretty good calls there.
Great calls by Doug Plains. Can I hit the second one again? The second one was particularly good. Was that with Olivier? That was beautiful.
Matthew Olivier just threw a hard shot on Tomasz Nosek. Yeah, this Blue Jackets team, they don't need too many chances. Here we go. Center. Jonah Gajevich.
Number two for Gajevich.
His second one of the night. This time it's Olivier right in the center circle. The old-fashioned way. Two heavyweights, two of the best in the business. When it comes to this sort of thing, they lock horns. Gajevich has the collar of Olivier's jersey with the left hand. Tries to break free with the right hand. Olivier playing some defense. Then he comes over the right. Right from Gajevich lands, then a couple of rights from Olivier. Gajevich counters right to the mandible of Olivier, and these two continue to throw right hands both directions. Gajevich and Olivier. This coming right after Olivier threw that hard shot on Tomasz Nosek. The battle spilling down to our left inside the Blue Jackets line. One of the best scraps you'll see anytime, anywhere. Gajevich and Olivier, and eventually,
holy
the
cow.
Two of them run out of gas. And you see the mutual sign of respect, I think, between the two top customers there, Gajevich and Olivier. And talk about a full day's work here in period number one for Jonah Gajevich, going head-to-head with first Labate and now Olivier.
Number 24, Florida number 12, both 5 minutes each for fighting.
And Olivier's one of the toughest in the business, and Olivier, 10-plus goals, 100-plus penalty minutes.
And a new contract this week.
And he's second in the NHL in hits. And he got a new, 6-year, $18 million deal.
I don't think it's the first fight between them either. I saw a fight from them back when they were on Columbus and San Jose.
Now, for sure. If I would have took that same energy and put it on a WWE fight, could you tell the difference?
No.
Like, it.
Especially with the bodies hit the floor in the background.
That's a good song.
Especially with nobody's hitting the floor, right? They just tuckered out. Like, nobody went down to the ice.
Let them clear it out, guys. Let them clear it out. Okay. They're going to get tired.
Nobody went to the ice. They just punched it out. He said, "You tired? You know, I got two more. You get two more, I get two more. All right, I'm done.
No takedowns.
Gentlemen's
agreement. Man.
Periodically you get a haymaker and somebody just gets busted up.
Oof. Dropped to the one knee.
Oh yeah.
I'm sorry technology ruined your interaction with Chael Sonnen, Froggy.
Nah, it's okay. You got to hear it. That's what matters most.
That's what matters. You touched him.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, I did, and I think that he's going to remember. Next time he calls Tobin a Leroy, you know, got that producer boy over there.
We've had him before, though.
Oh, we had a bunch, but Frog Boy, I think, has charmed him now twice, because the last time we had him on, I think you were golfing. And Marcos gave him like this whole speech, because he was just like, he was on video the last time and Frogboy was just on camera, and he goes, "What's the problem? He doesn't like old Chael. He doesn't have any questions for him."
I was being muzzled.
Marcos just went off into this whole rant and he was delighted.
Yeah. It's my boy. He's good though. He's good.
That's our show, everybody. You guys were good. And we appreciate you. We got a full weekend of Heat basketball, Panthers hockey, and who knows what else. You know, who knows what this crazy world of sports is going to bring us. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Keep your hands up. Champ, champ, keep your hands up, champ. Champ, keep your hands up. Hey, don't put them down. Don't put them down, champ.
And those later rounds, 7, 8, boom, 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 boom. Ah, my eye, my eye.
If I don't lube up on a daily basis, I look like Crocodile Dundee.
Some people like to Matthew Kachuk. I like to Matthew K.
What?
What?
What? You're J-Fizz.
Marla can get the f*** out of Miami, man.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.